This is Empowered Podcast, a podcast for interviews, discussions, and most of the time, chill and candid conversations with insightful thought leaders, inspiring educators, and courageous change makers who help transform, elevate, and celebrate teachers around the globe. Let's get empowered. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Empowered Podcast. And for today, we are welcoming back a good friend of mine and someone who's very familiar with the work that we do on Empower Ed, because he's been part of Empower Ed since the beginning. So let us all welcome John Paul Viernes. Hi, JP.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for inviting me once again. It's been a while. I mean, like the first time that you interviewed me was like 2 years ago.
Two years ago. I think during the launch.
During the launch, right.
Right. Okay, so John Paul Viernes is a newly promoted, an update for our audience right now. So John Paul, congratulations on that promotion. Can you tell us something about the new work that you're doing in your division right now?
Oh yeah, sure. I'm the first time you interviewed me, I was still a classroom teacher, a master teacher in one of the farthest schools in our community. That's my Palikim Elementary School. That's the reason why I showcased all the innovations that we are doing in our school despite the limitation in resources. Now, I am an education program supervisor in the learning resource management section here in DepEd Lawag City. Actually, I got promoted last March 2021. So my focus is, of course, provision of learning resources, making sure that all of our learners have adequate learning resources. And also, I also focus on learning resource advancement. So that's why I'm very passionate in providing them 21st century learning resources.
And of course, it cannot be missed that JP is also an EdTech expert, enthusiast, and someone who has been advocating. So in line with that, our topic for this podcast is not just simply about social media or TikTok, although it's very, you know, it's a nice conversation to have TikTok. But recently in the Philippines, for example, we had a DepEd order about not just about social media use for teachers, but it's really centering on how we promote our professional relationship boundary among members of the school community. But before we go to the more serious part, JP is on TikTok, and I was inspired to really look at look at the things that he does. And JP, can you tell us what you've been sharing on your TikTok account?
I'm quite new to TikTok. I actually started my account last year, December last year. Maybe I was so late in creating my TikTok because I'm one of those people who said that never in my life I will install TikTok in my phone. However, when I got to see the potential of the platform, I tried to use that to reach out our educators, not just here in our country, but of course all of those who have an access to the platform. I have this content in TikTok. It's a 3-minute EdTech tutorial wherein I actually showcase different EdTech tools and resources and how to utilize it effectively into the teaching and learning process. So I started it, I think, earlier this year, and I was blown away because the first EdTech tutorial that I actually uploaded gained almost 500,000 view, and that's the time when I receive a lot of following in my account. And also, aside from EdTech tutorial, I also upload, of course, vlogs, mini vlogs about how I accomplish my day-to-day work. And of course, I also upload fun videos since TikTok is also one of my outlets.
Yeah. So as someone who has been using it professionally and a little bit, I think, on the side of the personal aspect, What's your take about, because whether we like it or not, it's a social media platform, and there are teachers who are using it professionally, there are teachers using it personally. What are your take? Like different content, what kind of content should we be seeing from teachers?
Well, first, the first thing that I've noticed to some of the teachers, because a lot of my followers are actually teachers. First is that let's go to the like negative side first, uploading videos of their students, wherein that shouldn't be the case as long as I mean they should ask permission from their parents, of course, to upload videos with the face of their students. But that's a negative. Now, when you ask me what should be the content that our teachers should be like, of course, to upload in their TikTok account. First is, of course, as a teacher, personally, since I've mentioned a while ago that I also upload funny videos and, of course, like personal contents in my TikTok account, it's fine for a teacher to upload those stuff in their TikTok account as long as it's, I mean, you maintain high you maintain that expected professionalism as a teacher. Now, of course, for you to utilize the TikTok application or the TikTok platform into the teaching and learning process, you need to understand that there are risks as well, because TikTok contents, I mean, the algorithm of TikTok is very unpredictable, most especially for a young learner. Like, say, for instance, you utilize that for I mean, in teaching elementary learners, which shouldn't be, because I think there is an age restriction. I think there is an age restriction wherein user can create an account to that I mean, to the TikTok platform. First is you need to understand the risks as well, and as a facilitator, we need to understand how it works as well. Like, say, for instance, when we utilize this, who will be the target audience, and who will access the content that your learners are actually uploading? Would it be, I mean, is there an ethical issue, something like that? And of course, as a teacher, we need to understand that there is a boundaries between student and teacher as well. I can see a lot of teacher accounts in TikTok wherein students are actually commenting the personal contents of their teachers, and it's sometimes it's cringe to read those comments. Like, there's this one, can I give an example?
Sure.
There is this one teacher, yes, I mean, this very, I can say he's handsome, he's good looking, and then some of the students, I mean, most of his students are actually commenting in the, I mean, leaving comments in the comment section, wherein the comments like, that's the reason why I'm attending the class, because of we have a
Wow.
handsome teacher. Like, it's so cringe to read those comments. That's the reason why I do understand the issue once of DepEd Order Number 44, series of 2022, wherein like what you've mentioned a while ago, like, we really maintain high level of professionalism, and there should be a boundaries between students and a teacher as well. Well, actually, the DepEd Order Number 49 is not new. It's just a reminder to all of us, in the government, or who's working as in the government service.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing, JP, because as teachers, we don't end our responsibility as teachers after 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, when we are outside the school hours, and then we can just do whatever we want to do. I think that's the expectation. Like what you've said, there are a lot of, if I look at my TikTok, I don't post that much. I think it's travel videos. When
Yeah.
you look at my algorithm, you would see like teachers dancing here and there. Sometimes the
That's
dancing,
not
and the dancing
pushy.
are okay, but
Oh,
sometimes
that's okay. That's
you
okay.
yeah, and then you would see some teachers dancing to dance challenges bordering into whatever kind of dances that I think
Yes.
that I that su suggestive moves or dances. And sometimes you would really think, what is this something that we should be looking in, that we should be seeing or watching? I mean, it's okay to post about your recipe, your travel as a teacher, your about your dog, about your day in the life. But sometimes I also cringe, like seeing teachers doing dance challenges that are, so Gen Z in terms of, how they dance and
Maybe
things
Jim,
like that.
if that is their outlet, there are possibilities. I mean, there are other ways rather. There are other ways wherein we can filter those. Like say for instance, they can go to the settings. Like instead of publishing it publicly, they can just publish it with their friends only,
Yes,
right?
and make sure that they don't have student friends.
That's right.
Yeah, I love that you emphasize, that call for professionalism, for professional boundary. It of course there were memes around it, but when it came out, I was like, because I work in a private school, we have very strict rules on that. Like, I mean, professional boundary, being careful. We don't even do like official communications via social media because, it's social media. We don't expect our students to be there, especially in the grade school. It's just very interesting that, that certain level of professionalism that have been asked for the longest time, it just became, I don't know, a meme. It produced a lot of memes and people are
Yeah.
taking it too much. Well, in fact, it's just a reminder. I mean, it
It's
does
a
not.
reminder, actually. It's a reminder of existing.
And it does not stop us from building, relationships with our students, because we do have to build relationships. It's just
That's
that it
right.
reminds us to, that kind of relationship is professional by nature
Relation, I
itself.
mean, the teacher and learner relationship only. Because of course, when we utilize technology into the teaching and learning process, we have this like sharing of outputs. Students love to share their outputs in different platforms like Facebook. And of course, as a teacher, you need to facilitate that as well. And of course, as a facilitator, you need to be updated through their account or to the things they are posting in their social media. So I mean, the memes are overacting actually. Like I saw one post unfriending all her students.
Reactionism that is really, exaggerating everything. JP, you mentioned about, the tutorial videos that you're making, and I saw them and they're very much helpful. And looking at the comments, even your audience are so thankful, inspired really to really work on technology in their classroom. I see this as an example of micro learning, an aspect of micro learning. Should we do this also, like, inside the classroom, or maybe to aid instruction for our student, that kind of micro learning?
Well, yes, I believe, granting that we have 21st century learners now who have notoriously short interest span, right? Then micro learning is really applicable to them. Well, TikTok and other related platform is an amazing, I mean, it can be an amazing platform wherein they can showcase, you can showcase contents which are very brief, but learners would be able to understand really well what you're trying to convey. So yes, I do believe it's really relevant as well.
We were talking a while ago about the up and coming workshop that I'll be doing for the learning resources, for the central office. That my topic actually is about micro learning and some of the
Oh,
things
really?
that they asked me, but why they asked me to include in my topic is, the chunking
The
of
chunk.
lessons, of ideas, engaging the audience. And I think microlearning is really important well, a way of learning, a relevant way of learning right now, especially because you mentioned about the awareness span of our student. And I think that's the reason why TikTok is, getting
Really
more and
trending
more
now, right?
tractions. Before, I used to watch how to cook videos on YouTube. They were
Yeah.
kind of long. Then I just need to go to TikTok and everything's just short. All the informations I need, it's just there. It's just very,
Yeah,
very
you know
quick.
what, Jim? You know what, Jim? My content or my EdTech tutorial, the title or the name is a 3 minute EdTech tutorial. But before that, I used to upload longer than that because I think TikTok can hold up until 10 minutes. I used to upload like less than 10 minutes, I think 7 to 10 minutes EdTech tutorial. However, when I saw the views, those who have shorter length got higher views than those long than those lengthy videos that I uploaded. So that's the reason why I've decided to just stick with the 3 minute video tutorial.
It's much quicker, like quick,
Yeah, I actually
quick
got that to
learning.
you because you have the tutorial as well. I think it's 1 minute.
1 minute before, when
Your
I had
YouTube video. Yeah, you have your YouTube channel before.
I had so much time
It's an
to
inspiration
create,
from you.
when I had so much time to create videos, I had that 1 minute tutorial videos. Yeah, but now
Yeah.
I don't have much time to do that.
Me too.
But I think it's very
The feeling
interesting.
is mutual, Jim.
Professionally, those are very good way of learning, right? Micro learning, learning on the go. I think that's the one that you mentioned, like the 1 minute professional learning. It's basically just try to learn something in 1 minute wherever you
In
are.
1 minute, that's right.
Yeah. In the classroom, though, do you see it? Like, for example, teachers creating instructional materials for 1, 2, 3 minutes and just, using it in the classroom as compared to reading long or maybe watching long videos. What do you think of that?
I actually started it already in our division, Jim, because before, just like I mean, I've mentioned that I came from other division. Before coming to our division, they had these videos. I mean, a lo long video, like 20 to 30 minutes, video mediated instruction material. And when I came here as an education program supervisor in charge of learning resources, so of course we focus on developing non-print materials such as videos. And I told them that they can create video lessons, I mean full video lessons in just 5 minutes. They don't believe me in the first place, actually. However, when I gave them an example, when I showed them how it works, when I trained them how to do it, it's really possible. In 5 minutes, you can create a good video, or less, 5 minutes or less, you can create a good videos, a complete video instruction materials, which you can effectively use into your class.
Yeah, and those I think will save so much time.
Time,
Yeah.
yes, that's right.
I mean, we're not sacrificing the quality of learning, but
Exactly.
sometimes you have those knowledge or skills that can be taught for a small shorter. The acquisition part, the practice part, you can have more time to practice application and everything.
Exactly. I like the one you said. You say it saves time, because what's really happening inside the classroom is they focus too much on the lower level of in the Bloom's taxonomy, the remembering and understanding. But if we have this short video explainer or video lessons, we have more time to go through the apex, which is creating, analyzing, and evaluating, instead of focusing more on the understanding and remembering.
Yeah, and sometimes teachers get lost because of, sometimes they lecture too much, they
That's right.
overemphasize so much. And this one is more direct way of learning. JP, to end our conversation, what is your final message? We cannot avoid, we're on social media, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. What's your final message to our teachers with regard to the use or maybe decorum, I think that's a proper word, of teachers on social media?
Well, of course, I'm also an avid fan of different social media platforms. I have a lot of social media platforms. By the way, you can reach me out at JEYPEH to TikTok and Twitter and Instagram as well. Well, my final message is that it's okay. It's okay to post personal stuff into your social media platform as long as, again, just like what we'd mentioned a while ago, we've maintained that high level of professionalism. And these platforms, it can this platform can be a useful tool into the teaching and learning process. And I mean, yes, there are a lot of teachers who are actually using us here in the division office or in our division DepEd Lawag City. There are different, I mean, there are teachers who are using social media platforms in sharing, in communicating with their learners. And that's fine. And that's fine. Again, let us maintain the high level of professionalism.
Yeah, thank you, JP, for being part again of Empowered Podcast, and thank you for the inspiration, really.
It's an honor, and thank you so much for inviting me as well.
Of course, you're a part of the Empowered family, and yeah, thank you for the inspiration and for the assistance and help. I've seen JP work so much to really guide and assist our teachers during the onset of the pandemic, and right now, you know, we're a little bit chill right now, but we still see the work of JP. And there, thank you everyone for listening again to another episode of Empowered Podcast. And we will see you on the next episode. Thank you. Thank you, JP. Goodbye.